We're going to continue this morning in our series, Streams in the Desert. As we've jumped into this series, there's actually kind of a prayer and liturgy that we've opened up every week and really do this to kind of prepare our hearts to receive what God wants today. So we're going to put this on the screen and let's just pray this together as we jump into this morning. Good Father, we confess we are burdened, weary, and dry. We have searched for life in the systems of death. We carry weights we were not created to carry. We run further into the desert. We are thirsty. Today we step into your invitation to rest. We join the flowers and birds who do not worry or toil. We choose to live from your overflowing well of grace. We seek first your kingdom. As we draw near to you, would you draw near to us? As we step out of what is comfortable, will you meet us? Would you meet us in our community? Would you meet us in the spaces created for you? Jesus, wellspring of life, overflow into our dry and weary souls. Saturate us with your peace and presence as we plant ourselves by the streams of living water. All throughout this series, there's two things that we are really challenging you to step into. Number one is a discipling relationship and or community. And maybe that's something you already have. Maybe it's something that you can pursue on your own. Maybe you need help doing that and you can jump on cc.guide. We've had so many people sign up for a mentor over the last few weeks. It's just been remarkable. I believe the greatest life change happens in groups of 2 to 3 people. And then number two, we want to help you implement an intentional plan for spiritual formation. You will not grow by accident. You will grow when you're intentional about spiritual formation. And that's actually what this morning's going to be about. In this series that we're going to be doing, and it's a several month series, I'm going to be honest with you, I've had this morning's message circled. Because I think what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes is probably the missing factor in so many Christians' lives that where they feel like spiritual formation is elusive, it's always out in front of them, something they can't ever attain or get to, and we want to be very practical this morning on ways that you can do that. I want to open this morning with a story for you. If you could just engage and listen in on this story, because I think this story really is a metaphor for our lives. There was a man who every year went on a 12-mile hike through some of the most beautiful and breathtaking mountainous terrain that anyone had ever seen. As he started his journey, he decided he would try to break his all-time record and make it the fastest 12-mile hike he had ever accomplished. He was immediately annoyed when 2 miles into his hike, he was forced to navigate around a section of the path that had been washed out by the recent rains. Frustrated, he quickly navigated through a nearby field of wildflowers, picked up the path once again, and increased his pace in order to make up for the lost time. In his hurry, he tripped over a tree root and fell to one knee, immediately busting open the skin and bruising his knee. He bandaged it and continued the journey, trying to overcome a sharp pain in his knee for the next several miles. When he arrived at the river crossing, there was a mother moose and her little calf getting a drink in the nearby stream. The man quickly washed the blood from his leg and fumbled through some of the food he had brought with him, causing the moose and the calf to scatter at the noise. The man took off once again, content on making up for lost time. There were approximately 2 miles left in the hike, and the sun began to descend behind the mountains. He had forgotten just how steep this last climb to the overlook was and struggled getting to the top. He pushed his pace a little faster, blowing right past the overlook and heading to the final stretch of the hike. As he got closer to the end of the trail, he realized that he would end up being just minutes short of his record time. He felt dejected. He felt worn out, frustrated. If only he wasn't forced around the washout through the field of wildflowers. If only he hadn't scraped up his leg and had to stop at the river to clean the wound. If only he didn't have to summit the steep section of trail to the overlook on top. He could have gone faster. He could have gone just a little bit quicker. He would have made it. When I first heard this story, I couldn't help but thinking how it is a metaphor for so many of our lives and so many of us, our spiritual formation. That actually life and joy and all of these things that we're seeking to attain is not so much about our circumstances, but about our perspective. That two people can actually be in the exact same place in life and see the perspective from two completely different angles. Have you ever been there? And how do we deal with the inward part of our soul and not just what's happening to us around us? How do we not get sucked into just the day-to-day and the busyness, but how do we see the bigger picture? I think so many times we're crying out, God, where are you, as we're frantically running through the field of wildflowers. God, why don't you ever show up for me? As we race past the moose and her calf getting a drink at the stream. God, why don't I feel close to you? As we sprint past the overlook and the sun setting over the mountains to get where? To some final destination. And so many of us live frantic, chasing, spiritually frustrated, the interruptions, the brokenness, the struggle, and we miss the beauty and the wonder of life, of relationship with God. And I think until we stop and deal with the condition of our souls, then what happens is we just continue the chase. We continue to move frantically. Eugene Peterson, famous for writing his Message version of the Bible, a great devotional tool that you can use in your discipleship journey if you choose to. Probably the most famous passage he's known for in his translation comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Just listen to these words. Let them speak over you. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I think this has been true in all times, but never more true than the time that we're living in today, that we are carrying weights that we were not designed to carry. Things that maybe we're not even aware that we're carrying. This connectedness 24/7 to the world and everything around us and everybody's opinion can kind of set like a boulder on us every day. To fill every moment that we have with some sort of noise, some sort of distraction, something is just not the life that we were designed for. And sometimes it's just like, have you ever been said like, I just need a break from it? You ever been there? Like, I just need a break from it. If you're a parent in the room, and you don't, even if you're a non-parent, you get this, but parents especially, there are times where you are just like, I love my kids, but I don't want to see your face, right? You know that you've reached this place. The other day that I was yelling at my kids, stop yelling at each other. I was doing that. My parenting book will come out next year. I hope that you buy it. It's just like, you just get to this place of frustration. As my kids get older, I feel like it's getting better. My kids are 11, 9, 8, and 6. And so there are still moments where I'm just like, I love you, but leave my presence. And I joke around with my wife sometimes because we both have our little things where we know that we've reached max capacity. And a lot of times mine are like, babe, I'm going to go mow the yard. And she's like, you just did 2 days ago. You know, all the rains we've had in heaven. And she's like, it hasn't rained in 2 months, you know. Like, literally, I just need a moment. And then she has her thing. I'm like, babe, you've been in the bathroom for a suspiciously long amount of time. What's going on in there? Yep, I think you finished up your business a long time ago, and you're just chilling, you know? Like, your parents, you get it. You just need a moment, right? You need a break. Have you even felt that way? Where she's like, can I just get away from all of it, like, all the distraction, all the noise, like, oh, you didn't do this right, I wish we'd have done this, you know, all of the things COVID has created and just the divisive world that we live in, things that we weren't designed to carry. And I think there is this frustration that many of us carry because we want to attain this level of spiritual formation, and again, it always seems like it's just outside our grasp. And I've lived a lot of my life with this frustration. And there's a tension to it that I want to just name real quick because there's always going to be a frustration that we carry because we're not home, right? Ultimate home, capital H, eternity, right? And so there's this frustration of we're never going to be fully satisfied until we're in the presence of God. But at the same time, there's a level of peace that I want to live with that I feel like I'm constantly in tension with. That I'm getting sucked back into the systems of this world, and yet I don't want to be a slave to those. Is anybody with me this morning? I want to be free from that. I want to experience this level of freedom in Christ. And I love that there's a passage in John 15, and this is like the ultimate goal of spiritual formation, and some of you know where I'm going with this. But what's so amazing is John 15 is it's a part of this overall kind of upper room discourse, which is like Jesus' last words to the disciples. And so I think there's something about that. Like, he's walked with the disciples this long. The disciples have to be freaking out a little bit because How can it be good that you leave us? And this is moments before Jesus is going to be arrested, tried, killed, crucified, resurrected. And then we know he gets a little bit of time with them before he's ascended. But if you were going to say one final thing to your disciples, what are you going to tell them? And think about it. The disciples are like, how are we going to do this? We've just done what you've told us to do, and now we're going to be alone. How can this be better? And that's why for two chapters, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit more than anything. And then in all of their misunderstandings, with everything that they're nervous about, Jesus gives them one final takeaway. And this is the goal of our lives, or it should be. John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much. Say it with me. You will bear much. But apart from me, you can do, say it with me. This is a simple concept, but this will free you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Like, you're so worried about getting the job or moving to this city or a relationship or all of the things that you desire, but apart from abiding in the vine, they will all lead you back to nothing. You will spend your whole life searching. There is not some job out there that unlocks the key to contentment for you. There's not some relationship that if you find will all of a sudden make life worth living. No, fruit is produced when you are connected to the giver of life. So you don't have to worry about tomorrow, thank God, or next week or next month. My one job in life is to stay connected to the vine. That's hard enough for me. That is my job. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. This is the constant invitation. In Matthew 11, Jesus invites us not to be burdened or carry the weights, but to give those to him, that his grace is going to be sufficient. There's grace for every day. In John 15, he says, all you have to do is abide in me. You don't have to worry about the future. You can't produce fruit in your own ability, so just rest and remain in me and watch what I begin to produce through you just naturally. So it leads us to this. How do we accomplish this? You and I have to be strategic and intentional about developing rhythms and practices in our life that lead us to the transforming power of God. That doesn't just happen. And I lived a lot of my life not knowing that part. I'm so grateful. I'm fourth generation Pentecostal charismatic. Seeing some God do some amazing things, seeing some weird stuff too in my life. My great-grandfather, an Assembly of God minister. My grandfather, an Assembly of God minister. My dad wasn't a pastor, but I grew up all around it. I'm grateful for it. But you know what it led us to at times? We just need one more encounter with Jesus, and we'll get there. One more spiritual encounter will get us over the top. I am all for genuine encounters with the Holy Spirit. We need that. You also need this, daily walking with Jesus. When you combine spiritual encounters with the Holy Spirit and daily living in rhythms and practices, guess what? You get the combination for an amazing walk with Christ. And so I lived most of my life with one, but not the other, and learning what it meant to walk in that, and weaving the daily practices into my family, my life, my morning, my getting up and my laying down, my hobbies, my relationships. This is what God's talking about in the book of Deuteronomy. He's leading them out of slavery into the promised land. And here's what God knew about us. We forget really, really quickly. Like really quickly. Like you can be giving God all the credit one day and the next day you're like, how awesome am I? Right? And God knew the Israelites were going to do that. I brought you up out of Egypt. I delivered you. I took care of you in the wilderness. I'm about to lead you into this land. It's really good. And you're going to take credit for it. So the number one passage that even the Jewish people quote every day, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4-9, he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. They're to be on your hearts. But then God gets really practical. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know what God is saying? Literally, they're everywhere. You can't get away from it. Every time you turn around, there's a reminder of God's goodness that brings you back to, guess what? It's not you, it's God. There's something that I think as Christians, we've actually missed the power of this. We look at like our Muslim friends, and you're like, oh, you guys have to pray three times a day or five times a day. Or to our Jewish friends, you have to do the Sabbath and you have to do all these rituals and regulations. And I think we've actually missed something in it. Is that we were designed for rhythms and practices that lead us back to God. Not that we're free from all that stuff, but that we actually need them in order to reorient our heart back to the things of God. And once a week church, and so let's not act like you come to church every week anyway, I know, right, is not sufficient. The average person attends church less than twice a month now. And so we're running on empty continuously. We pull into church. We get enough gasoline to like to last us maybe a week, but not that. And so we live lives on empty, continually empty, wondering why we're not producing fruit, because you were designed for so much more. Without an intentional plan for spiritual formation, let me tell you how you'll live and how I will live. We'll live scattered. Our schedule is full but doesn't reflect our purpose and priorities. We'll live hurried. We're busier than we want to be but don't know what to change or how to simplify. We'll live reactive. Seems like we're never in charge. We're always responding to the demands of others or what happens. And we're just exhausted. Every day are weary, discouraged, unsure if we spend it well. At all. Rich Viadas wrote a great book called The Deeply Formed Life. I highly recommend it. He talks about how because of the culture is discipling us and shaping us, and so we have to have practices and rhythms that lead us to a countercultural life, right? So he says we need contemplative rhythms because we live an exhausted life. We need racial reconciliation because we live in a divided, polarized world. We need interior examination because we're living a world that's just on the surface always. We need missional presence for a distracted and disengaged people because people can no longer be present or just sit with each other. In the 3rd century AD, and we're going to get really practical as we end this morning, there was a group of people known as the Desert Fathers. These were men and women who actually went out. This was the beginning of monasticism or monk life. And what they would do is they would go out and they begin to ask themselves, what does it mean to be formed into the image of Jesus? And these are people like St. Anthony came out of this time. And they didn't spend their whole lives there, but they went there for a season in order for God to develop them. And throughout the years, let me tell you, there's some great spiritual mystics, great spiritual fathers and mothers that we should be learning from. Great men and women that went before us that have so much to teach us about spiritual formation. And one of the things that came out of this 3rd century, these desert fathers, is known as a rule of life. I'm not saying rules for life. It's not a list of rules. The word rule, the etymology of it actually comes from, they think it comes from the Latin word, which is translated a trellis. And so I'm not like a wine connoisseur by any means. Many of you probably know more about this, but the reason that they grow grapes or in a vineyard on a trellis or where they bring them up high is to maximize the fruitfulness of the grapes. Like you put it on something that allows us to grow to its maximum capacity. Also, it gets them off the ground where all of the animals don't go by and eat it. You and I need a trellis or structure for our life to grow in our relationship with God. If we are going to maximize our relationship with Christ, you won't get there by accident. It won't naturally happen because you heard a message or you showed up for church or even if you're in a small group. It will happen because you were intentional about growth. And we've got to become intentional about it. So let me give you 3 things that a rule of life is. A rule of life is a way of living. It's an intentional plan to keep God at the center of everything we do. It is a life-giving structure for freedom, growth, and joy. If your rule of life is bringing death to you, you're doing it wrong. It's a structure that brings life. 2, a rule of life is a mixture of spiritual, relational, and vocational practices and rhythms, all encompassing, that helps create space in our busy lives to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to fulfill the mission of Jesus. And a rule of life is a means to an end, not the end itself. It is designed to help us experience the love of God and transforming work of the Spirit. The end goal is not just to develop a rule of life. The end goal is to live a transformed life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And a rule of life helps us accomplish that. So we don't worship the systems or the rule of life. They are a tool, a bridge to get us from where we are to the life that God wants us to live. And we have to be intentional. These are one of those messages. At the end of this message, I'm going to pray for you. I don't know if that'll do anything for you. That sounds like a lack of faith, doesn't it? Like, you're going to have to go do something with this message. I'm giving you homework today. What are you going to do with this? I'm going to end with these five areas that you can start with. All of this is on cc.guide. So if you go and do this week and you need these notes, jump on the talk notes. It'll all be on there. It'll help guide you through this. Number one, what does spiritual formation look like? What are the practices and rhythms of your day, your week, your month, and your year of scripture reading, getting God's word in your heart, developing a prayer life? There are times where the breakthrough that you're looking for comes through prayer and fasting. I'm telling you. Worship. You need disciplines of engagement. You also have to have disciplines of disengagement. Let me tell you how Pastor Matt is wired. God speaks most heavily in my life through practices and rhythms of disengagement. When I retreat, withdraw, when I have times of silence, solitude, reflection, and retreat, for whatever reason, God shows up in that space. You need that. In a world that is bombarding you 24/7, you better learn to withdraw and have solitude with God. And I know, I've done this long enough, that if I get in a space of solitude and my heart is so busy and I can't even be there in that space, something's wrong. I need to reorder my heart, because if I'm so busy that I can't sit with God, that's going to lead me to other places that I don't want to go. You learn to recognize the patterns and the behaviors in your life. Number two, emotional, physical health. You are made for Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift. Whether your Sabbath is an afternoon, it's a day, my Friday is Sabbath. If you want to meet with Pastor Matt, it's not going to be on Friday. Guess what? In my Sabbath, as I rest, God works on my behalf. God does on my Sabbath what I would never be able to do in my own ability. It's a gift that God has given you that he wants you to use. Sabbath is not made for God. It's made for man. It's a gift that God has given you. Use it. Here's what I ask on my Sabbath. What fills my tank? Emotionally, spiritually, physically. What fills my tank? What can I do on my Sabbath that when I leave, I have something to give my wife, my kids, and the world? Right? My church. Sleep. Diet and exercise. You need to be in the right place physically. If you're not in the right place physically, you can't give the people that you love what they need. You can't live your full potential. You have to take care of the body of the temple that God has given you. Amen? Don't act like that's not spiritual. It very much is. Hobbies. You need replenishing activities, things that you love to do. Things that when you begin to do this, like time begins to go away, right? I mean, those are different things. I love to play tennis. I wake up every Tuesday morning. I play tennis from 6 a.m. to 7:30. People are like, why would you do that at an ungodly hour? It actually fills my tank. Like, I love to fish, right? I could be in a stream with a fly fishing rod, and I'm like, have I been here 30 minutes? No, it's been 6 hours. That's how you know you love it, right? Like, just things that fill your tank that you love to do. Number three, relationships. You're going to have to do this on your own time. I can't go through all these. I just don't have the time this morning. Spouse, children, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, discipling community. Here's always been my rubric for relationships. If you have relationships in your life that are leading you further away from Jesus, you need a boundary with that individual or person. Your inner circle, the people closest to you, should be people that are leading you closer to Jesus. Fill your life with an inner circle of people that are leading you towards Jesus, and guess what? You invite blessing into your life. That was the 22nd version. Number four, church, community, participation, corporate worship, value mission, living on mission, and generosity. Be a part of the family of God. Don't sit on the outside of the family of God looking in, but engage. Be a part of the body of Christ. Your vocation and money, you got to get those things right. You may not be in the smack dab middle of your dream job. Guess what? You're still there, and God wants to use you. God wants to use you right where you're at. Don't believe the lie that when you get here, then all of these things will be unlocked. Where has God placed you? Your current position, your responsibilities, your personal development and growth. Are you stewarding the money, the resources, and the position that God has given you now? We always ask for more, but are you stewarding what you've been given? How can we develop a rule of life for those things? You can't do all five of these things right now. Did you know that? Please don't try. You'll get greatly discouraged. But here's what I am asking this morning, if the Holy Spirit would begin to spotlight some of these areas that you're like, you know what, I need to be intentional about this. I need to set down. So how do you do these? These are just my recommendations. Number one, listen and discern what God is speaking about your rule of life. What is God speaking to you about this? Don't skip this part. Some of you achievers, you're going to go in and you're going to make this list and it's going to be awesome. You're going to set goals and all these things. Don't do that first. Listen and discern what God wants to do. What are the things that God is speaking? In fact, the greatest thing you could do after this message is right now, or after this is done, get out your phone. I'm going to put a 2-hour block on my schedule. Nobody's going to take it. And I'm going to set, and I'm going to be. When I do that, you know what I have to do for the first 15, 20 minutes? I just have to get rid of all the thoughts that are bombarding me. That's part of it. Sometimes I have a side list of going, the things I need to be accomplishing to help me get my mind back on the things of God. Number two, talk about this in your discipling relationship or community. Some of you are going to make this one optional. You can't. You have to tell somebody. Allow somebody to walk with you if you're going to see it through. And then begin to write down some realistic practices and rhythms that will make up your rule of life. Just start somewhere. And what are 1, 2, maybe 3 things that I feel like God is leading me into? And men, these are rhythms and practices. These are not just like New Year's resolutions or goals. No, these are a way of life that brings life. Stand your feet with me across this room, if you would. I know this may sound super simplistic, but do you know what grows in your life? Whatever you feed grows. You know what dies? Whatever you starve. And so there may be some things that need to be starved because they need to die. How many know that's not easy? I had some health complications over this last couple months, like even some post-COVID stuff that I was trying to wrestle with. And so I have a naturopathic doctor. I go to counselors, doctors, dietitians, chiropractors. I use them all, right? So if it's unspiritual, call me unspiritual. But I'm gonna use everybody I can. She did some blood work. So a couple weeks ago, I walk into her office and she's like, overall, you're pretty healthy. There are some things that I think we can work on and I can help you with. And she looked over here and she said, there's this area of like food allergies. And she was like, your gluten came back really high. And I was like, oh God, don't tell me what you're about to tell me. I'm going to be that person in the restaurant. Excuse me, ma'am, does this have gluten in it? You know, so, nothing wrong with that. I just didn't want to be that person. It's great if you are. It's just not for me. And she's like, just give it a try, like 30 days, see how you feel. Well, I'm 2 weeks into this, and I can tell it's helping me. I'm like, oh, man. And let me tell you, the first couple days, it's like gluten is in everything that I love. And I was like dreaming about it. I was in Seattle on this, you know, doing this church planning thing, and someone's like, they give you a Chick-fil-A box, and I'm like, I can't eat anything in there. And I want it so bad. And then like Friday, my wife and I, we had like a date day, so we go out to lunch. She's like, oh, babe, you can't have that. And I looked at her, and I was like, you know what? I don't even want it anymore. Like even in just 2 weeks, like the things that I craved, I starved. I've seen the benefits, and now it's like I don't even crave it. I don't even care about it. And I think that's how it works with us, doesn't it? Like what we feed grows and what we starve dies. Like you can literally take your phone and on a Sabbath, you can put it over and not touch it for a day. And guess what? This constant desire to like, I have to look goes away. It really does. I don't have to be tied 24/7 to the things of the world. In fact, I'm not designed to. I can't. And you begin to rewire things. And this life that you always felt like kind of is out your grasp, you begin to grasp onto it. And guess what? When you begin to grasp onto it, here's the beauty of it. You want more of it. You want more of it. You begin to take control of things that you maybe were out of control in your life. I've preached way too long. Closing, third time. This is it. I can't help but think the most important message Jesus ever preached was in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And I think there's something about it. He closes the greatest sermon he ever preached, and he says there's a story about two different people who built their houses. And this may seem simple, But look at the power of this. He said, one built their house on the sand. They heard the word of God and didn't do anything with it. And the waves came and the wind came and the rain came and the floods, and it washed their house away. I want you to be the second person who hears the word of God and puts them into practice. Sometimes, I've said this several times, we don't need another message. We're so over-sermonized. We need to walk into obedience to what we've already heard. And I'm just asking you today. In fact, there's a part of me that, like, I want to preach this same message next week, and I want you to come back and hear it, and I want to hear it, and I'm going to preach it the week after that until we get it. I feel like that's where we're at. Like, we just, as followers of Jesus, and we're not living on mission sometimes like we want to. We're not walking in life. It's because we haven't done this. We have to abide with Christ. Stop trying to break the 12-mile hike. Enjoy the wildflowers. Sit and watch the mother moose. Stop at the overlook and check out the sunset. It's remarkable. Holy Spirit, we just ask this morning, man, that you would speak to our dry and weary souls. God, like me, I think there's so many people in this room hungry for something more than we're experiencing right now. We want you. We need you. We ask that you would help us in our weakness. God, it may not seem like breakthrough, but I think some people this week are going to have some breakthrough as they just stop, as they begin to develop a rule of life, as they become intentional about the life that they want to live, as they begin to remove some things that have overrun and overtaken them. And I just pray, God, that in the moments, and in those quiet moments that they create, would you meet us? Would you show up? It's in those quiet moments you remind us, and we're sons and daughters. It's in those quiet moments you remove us just from circumstances and situations, and you just love us, where we find life and contentment. Help us. We're sorry for the times we've gotten it wrong. We desire you. Man, we want to be connected to the vine every day. Help us. If you would, if you have your communion elements and you just want to begin to prepare them, there are times for us communion is just, it's a touch point. It's a symbolic physical way of just what we feel like God wants to do in us. And so as we recenter our hearts around the gospel, I just remind you, the gospel is not something you've earned, not something you're deserving of. The gospel is God's free gift for us. So we just receive it and we say thank you. If you're not a follower of Jesus in this room this morning, I invite you to take Jesus as Lord and Savior, a God who is not disappointed with you, but loves you more than anything. As Jesus was gathered around his disciples, he took the bread. He said, this is my body. It's going to be broken for you because of my love for you. Because I want to see you redeemed, restored, and made whole. I'm going to be torn apart for you. Let's take the body of Christ together this morning. Jesus took the cup. His shed blood poured out for us to give us life so that we could experience salvation. Let's take the cup this morning. Would you take just a few seconds right where you're at, as always, and just out of gratitude and thankfulness, just tell God how grateful you are. How grateful you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. My prayer for you, City Church, I mean this. I'm more passionate about what I preached this morning than most anything right now. And every week we're going to be putting very practical videos out on our social media to help give you tools. This whole sermon series is about how to resource and help give you tools. We are staying in this topic for a long time. We're camping out here. and every week going to be talking about things that will help you as you develop your rule of life and as you intentional about spiritual formation. If you need help, if we can help resource you, if you need a mentor, please let us know. I believe this is going to be such a transformative time for our community and our family. Man, thanks for being here with us this morning. A quick reminder, if you're a first-time guest, stop by on your way out the door outside. We'd love to give you a free gift. You can sign up for Love Tulsa Sunday on cc.guide. Make sure, that's such a fun day. What an incredible opportunity just to be the gospel and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's end with our mission statement. Go live it out. Wherever you are, be the gospel. God bless you.